Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everybody to Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 109, and this week I am very pleased to be joined by returning guest, Mr. Brian Quinlan. Hello.
Hi.
I almost said returning quest. I guess that would make sense for the first show we're going to talk about. How you been, buddy?
That's quest is on your mind because of Royal Quest.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this? Are we going to try to make people think that recording this after?
I don't give a shit. We're recording after we just
You're not gonna try to fool them?
Okay. No.
This is the middle of the day. All in hasn't happened, or all out, or whatever the fuck hasn't happened yet, so.
We're recording after Royal Quest, and then we'll, you know, end it there. And through the magic of audio, they'll then hear the all out review. But yes, we're live from the Bronx. You're in the room with me. Mm-hmm. So, we just finished watching Royal Quest a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't answer the question how you've been doing.
Okay.
We were two of the only people...
Not looking forward to the fall.
What are you talking about? Why not?
It's going to be too much shit to watch.
We're two of the only people on the planet that got tickets to the Anime NYC okay. Lantis Matsuri.
Do the listeners care? Or?
I just think it's funny. Like, we're two... Because that thing's so... It's a concert at New York City's biggest anime con.
You're looking at me as you're saying that. I'm aware I have tickets
for it. What are you explaining to the
crowd? Well, look at the microphone. That's where they are.
I'm explaining to the audience.
But you're looking at me like you're trying to explain to you what concert you're going to, sir, that you bought tickets for. I'm aware.
But yeah, it has, you know, about a bunch of weeaboo acts, basically. Jam Project and
that's
Love Live.
That's what I'm going for. I mean, I'm going because I missed a performance by them once. Because I already seen them once before. Getting back to another con.
There's a wrestling
it was a song.
Time.
Yeah. Well, okay, hold on. It was a song I really want. Well, one of them sings by herself. And I thought, well, she didn't sing it the first time. She probably won't sing it here. And I found out she did. And I was pissed off because I was too busy watching the Coyotes face the Boston Bruins and getting destroyed. And I was mad I missed it. So I'm not going to take that chance again. I'll go. She probably won't sing it, but hey, I don't want to see it.
But yeah, they put tickets on sale for this. It was like four acts.
And apparently people are mad.
Including Love Live, which is obviously the big ding.
Yeah, I remember
not a Love Live
when I told some other people in our group explaining what happened, they found it very funny when I told them that they're promising to do like an investigation.
Yeah, they were like shocked. They were like, we are floored by the demand. I'm like, this is the first time Love Live has ever come to the East Coast. I don't even watch the fucking show, and I still knew that was going to be
like
ridiculous.
We will do a full investigation on to make sure scalpers. How the fuck are you going to tell that?
It was 4 minutes. It sold out. The tickets sold out, and so there you go. So we're two of the only people that got tickets to that concert. That's one good thing that happened.
I kind of feel bad. I took a ticket because I don't care about Love Live, but I feel bad I took a ticket from someone.
I'm going to see True. Okay. She sang the ending to That Time I Was Reincarnated as a Slime. So I'm very excited. Anyway, other than that, I guess we haven't been up to much, but here to talk about two wrestling shows today. New Japan Royal Quest, and also AEW All Out. You pulled behind the curtain before for some reason and revealed that we haven't actually watched All Out yet. But obviously that means we're going to talk about Royal Quest first. A weird show to talk about for a number of reasons.
Many reasons.
First of all, you know, the stream. The stream, absolutely. So
I mean, I got there a little late, but you said you couldn't really watch the show anyway because it kept like going in and out.
The first four matches, I mean, look, I'd never watched anything on Fight TV before. I'll just say that right out of the gate. Like, I didn't bother with the Australian shows, and I still haven't seen the Australian shows, honestly. And, you know, I don't really watch anything else that I guess only airs on Fight. You know, I'm not a big Mania weekend viewer, I guess, other than when I went to the shows this year. So, you know, this is my first time using Fight, and it immediately started buffering, like, over and over again. So it was basically, there's a lot of issues. First of all, the English commentary didn't work.
Nope.
Neither did the Japanese, apparently.
Oh, great.
So you couldn't hear them say anything. The audio mixing all night long, they never fixed this, was atrocious. Like, Nicole came in the room at one point, and she's like, is there something wrong with the TV? And I was like, no, that's just the announcers sound really bad. So the audio mixing all night long was atrocious. Early on, it had basically two different issues with the video feed. It would buffer constantly. Like, that little blue circle would come up, and it would stop and reset, and stop and reset. And they would occasionally lose their feed completely. So we got very intimately the
logo
Fight TV
of that man boxing.
The man, like, boxing the air. It was like, what did it say? Like, waiting for video feed or something?
Waiting for video to load.
It's like, we got to see that man.
Man, a lot.
Box.
He kept doing run-ins all night.
For the first four matches, really. I don't think it happened after the first four matches. I think it was only in the first four matches.
We got the circle sometimes, but not the man.
Yeah. So the blue circle eventually ended after the four matches.
And then it came back like in the middle of the fucking main event, which pissed me
off. After that, it went away.
Yeah.
So basically the first half of the show bordered on unwatchable. A lot of people stopped trying.
Not because the show was bad, but because,
and switched over to NXT. I will never switch over to NXT. That show does not exist. So I was like, I'm going to make this work. I'm watching this fucking shit. And I feel like I got paid off for my you know, persistence by the end. Because overall, I think this is a good show. I mean, people who were there in the building, I've been reading them.
I'm sure if I was there live, I would have loved it.
Yeah, people who were on Twitter and on, you know, like, the Super J-Cast Discord and stuff, they were saying that, like, if you're in the building, it was a great undercard. And it felt like, from what you could watch, those undercard matches were actually pretty good. Like, it's just, it was really tough to watch them, you know? Like, when the blue circle's coming out a lot. The crowd was great all night. I mean, that I figured that it would be. Apparently, it was about a little over 6,000 people. And, yeah, the crowd was just fantastic all night. I mean, they were loud, pretty much loud for everything. They would go but they weren't one of these crowds that can be so loud so consistently that gets annoying, you know? Like, again, like some NXT crowds, where, like, they would go quiet for little stretches and give you, like, a little bit of, like, okay, let's just enjoy the match. So that was good. The opener... Well, and the undercard matches, like I said, we'll go a little quick through since I didn't really see them that well. Sho Yo and Rocky Romero defeated Red Narita, Shota Umino, and Ryusuke Taguchi. Sho pinned Narita with the Power Breaker, which is that lung blower thing, powerbomb lung blower thing he does. Again, I couldn't really see this match because this is when the first two matches, especially, was when the buffering thing was at its worst, and I was trying to restart my internet and stuff to try to see if that would help. But yeah, I mean, like, all I can really say about this is it looked fine from what I could tell. Also, it looked like Naruto might have gotten hurt at the finish. I haven't heard anything, but he was laying down there for a long time, and they were being very ginger, like, rolling him out of the ring. So I hope he's okay, because that would really suck to lose him right before the Young Lion Cup. Yeah, so... But I can't really tell you a lot else about this match, because I didn't really see it.
Yeah, or any of this. Well, we'll get to the rest.
Match 2, Kota Ibushi and Juice Robinson beating Yujiro Takahashi.
We missed this finish completely. We barely saw any of this.
Yeah, but Ibushi pinned Hikuleo with the Kamigoe.
You decided to reset the Wi-Fi, so we completely missed the finish.
I mean, at one point, like, Juice's... That screen came up just as they were making the hot tag to Juice. Yeah. So, like, not good timing there. Match three, this, I guess, it worked a little better, so I was able to see a bit of this. Will Ospreay and Robbie Eagles defeated El Phantasmo and Taiji Ishimori. It says Ospreay pinned Phantasmo with the Red Wing. I guess that's what they're calling that double D move they debuted.
Yeah.
So, obviously, this was like the debut of Ospreay and Eagles as a tag team.
They won a tag title shot.
Yeah, so...
This match was the best match. It's the only one I could really see so far, but this match was great. Will Ospreay is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I went like 3.25. It was pretty good. The one thing about this match, obviously, to me, is like Phantasmo just kind of like drags things down. Where
I think he's fine.
He's really, really insistent on that heel work, sort of like Jay White, but like I just don't find him as entertaining as Jay White.
I think he doesn't rely on it as much.
Yeah.
Like
he slows.
I felt down. Like if it took that away, Jay White would have like literally nothing to do in a match. Like all he has, it's like he just studied Cody and said, "I'll just do that more." And really,
Jay White has some really cool suplexes and stuff, but okay.
And
Phantasmo, anyway, I don't know. He just doesn't do anything for me. But the parts with Ishimori and the two of them I thought were good. I liked the matching gear the Eagles and Ospreay had.
Yeah. I mean, they made a good team.
So I guess they're going to get a junior tag title shot probably on the Destruction Tour, is what I would guess. Maybe they'll do Ospreay Phantasmo for the junior title, King of Pro Wrestling, unfortunately. Match number four, Naito and Sonata defeating Jay White and Chase Owens. Sonata submitting Chase with the skull end. Naito was like super fucking over.
Yep.
I mean, I guess that's not breaking news to anyone with a brain, but the people.
It's almost like he, you know, should be pushed more. I don't know.
The people that think Naito isn't over anymore are. Stupid. I dunk on them every week because they're very. Like, they don't have ears.
Yeah.
As far as like in the match, he didn't really do anything from what I can tell, but. Look, I mean, he's done a lot lately. Take a match off. I don't blame
He did what the people wanted to see.
Yeah, the people went nuts for everything he did. Like, especially, if you were there to see Naito, you got to see the Destino in the post-match anyway.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to.
And he spit in Jay White's face. I like that.
I think Naito and Jay White have really good chemistry.
Okay.
I think they're both, like, I really enjoy this feud so far because they're both complete scumbags, basically. Yeah. Like, they're both slime balls. And it's like these two slime balls just trying to outslime each other. I really enjoy that whole aspect of the feud. Sonata, you know, he looked good here. He and Chase have this weird long quasi feud based around Chase not being able to do the Paradise Lock, which they kind of worked into this, which I thought was funny. But yeah, it was again, there were still problems here, so when I could see, this was pretty good. And at the end of this match, the stream stabilized, basically.
We're just in time for the next one.
The stream, like, at the end of this, the stream really stabilized. Yeah. But in the post-match, Naito gave Jay White the Destino. So, you know, Jay White basically started running wild with a chair. He took out Sonata, but then Naito cut him off with an Enziguri, which is great. The crowd went nuts for that. And then hit the Destino, so people who came to see Naito got to see him hit that move, which is cool.
See him hit the Destino.
And then he counted his own pin.
Well,
then the
crowd did, yeah.
And then he rolled White out of the ring and, like, geez, he was going to throw the chair at him, and instead just sat in the chair and the crowd popped. So I like this feud a lot. Obviously, we're going toward, they already announced this is going to be the last Destruction show of the tour.
Yeah.
Destruction in Kobe, which is obviously the biggest show of the tour, Kobe World Hall. So I expect that to be a really good match, and I expect Naito to lose, which, you know, they talked a little bit about this on the Voice Wrestling flagship this week. If you're a Naito fan, you know, and you understand what's probably going on, I don't think you're going to freak out about that, because they're clearly building to something with this two-belt thing, and they wouldn't have Jay White taunting him and Ibushi saying he wants to be double champion that too. If it wasn't,
so do you think they'll do a rematch at night one of the Dome?
Yep.
And then he'll face Ibushi night two.
So I think it's my prediction. What's going to happen right now? Naito loses to Jay White, Destruction in Kobe. He has to win something to get back to the Dome at Power Struggle. Maybe like some kind of number one contenders match, or even like a little tournament or something. And then night one of Wrestle Kingdom is Jay White versus Naito and Okada versus Ibushi. Naito beats Jay White and gets the IC back, and then he wins on night two and wins the heavyweight, whether it's Okada or Ibushi. Mm. So, I mean, I could be... Maybe I'm working myself into a shoot here at Naito again, but at least...
You probably are.
But. Look, at the very least, if you're a Naito fan, I would not freak out if he loses to White. Mm. I think it's step one of a longer thing here. And I will definitely fucking take this over that goddamn Dead End Jericho feud last year, where he's feuding with Chris Jericho over Skype. Like, that sucked. At least here, like, Naito is, you know, in the mix for Wrestle Kingdom. Well, you don't agree? Okay. Well, whatever. We'll see what happens.
Him and Jericho would had a better match.
They had a really good match, but, like, Naito didn't get to do anything that entire fall. I mean, you knew he wasn't going to be champion or anything, and this, at least, the double champion thing is interesting. Okay. So, match number five. The IWGP tag team titles. Guerrillas of Destiny against Aussie Open. Who won Revolution Pros for a tutorial quest. I think you hated this a lot more than I did, so why don't you talk about it?
It was just boring, and I don't, like, I didn't think it was bad until I checked how much time had passed, and I thought this match had been going on like 20 minutes, and it had been going on like 7. It went on like, it felt like forever, and it's not even these teams' fault, because I just don't give a shit about those belts, and I can't imagine anyone does. Like,
yeah, who cares?
Those tag belts have been, like, who gives a shit for years now? I mean, it felt like it was always the same three teams fighting over them, and, I mean, G.O.D. have been around, what, like, for, like, 3 years, and they've held the belts, like, 9 times. They've already, like, almost
they're
broke
one
the
record. Defense away from the record, yeah.
Like, and they haven't been around that long. Like, how long ago did his brother come in? Like,
not... It was, like, it's 2016. Yeah, the end of 2015 or early 2016.
He's been around for 3 years. And they're breaking the record. Like,
I saw their first tag title one, I think.
Yeah.
At Invasion Tech 2016.
It's like, they're just there. Every once in a while, they'll drop it to someone for, like, a second, and then this team will win it back, and it will just continue to the end of time.
Yeah.
I mean, if Homa hadn't gotten injured, Makabe would probably also be continuously feuding with them over it. It's like, they need to, like, take two guys that aren't doing anything and make them a team.
Here's what I will say. No booker is perfect. Mm-hmm. And what is the weakness of this booking regime? I mean, above all else, it's the fucking tag divisions.
Yep.
Both tag divisions, pretty much, you're lucky if one tag division is good. Usually they're both bad.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they are both bad. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm really sick of complaining about it. Like, who fucking cares? Like, I wrote for the fucking prediction. I was just like, who cares? Like,
yeah,
who really cares
so.
Who wins this? As far as the match itself, the Aussie Open, I've only seen a couple times. We saw them during Mania Weekend. They were at the WXW show. Some people really love that tag title match. I thought it was fine. But, like, I know, like,
no memory of
some
this,
people
so.
Thought it was, like, really, really good. And then I think they were also on the WrestleCon Years vs. the World show in, like, a six-man tag or something. And that was pretty good. But this, I mean, all I can really say is this match really alternated between being very boring, like, extremely boring, and then, like, Aussie Open would get their offense, and it would... Some of their moves would actually look really cool, some of their double team moves, and some of them would look like, I don't even know what you're doing. Like, they would look really sloppy.
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to be cool and just completely failing. There was, like, a flipping, I don't know, like, the big dude. I don't even know which was which, honestly. I think the big one is Mark Davis and the small one is Kyle Fletcher. I could be wrong. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. God knows I'm never going to claim to be a fucking Brit Rez expert, so. But I think the big one, Mark Davis, like, he did, like, some kind of flipping, like, into the corner, right? He did, like, a backflip into, like, a neck breaker, and it was supposed to look cool, but it did not look cool at all. Like, it looked like he just threw his body at the other guy, and the other guy fell down, basically. So, I don't know. I assume, yeah, Mark Davis is the big one. I'm happy with myself for knowing that. But, yeah, it was, I went 2.5 on it, which... Maybe even been a little generous. It was just, to me, it was like just a match, you know. The next one, which is going to be an interesting one to talk about, the Never Openweight Championship, Kenta defeating Tomohiro Ishii. Ishii loses. He's like the fucking fourth straight champion to lose on his first defense with his belt.
Yeah.
Kenta becomes the 27th champion. So here's the thing about this match. It was going really well for a while.
It was
going
to be the best match on the show.
It was a little boring early on.
To that point.
It was a little boring early on. Then it became, like, really fucking good. Like, really good. Like, trending above 4 stars good. And then it looked like... suddenly they just looked like they, like, completely miscommunicated on spot.
Mm.
And, like, they just, you know, couldn't figure out what was going on. And they dropped each other. It turns out, if you go back, on the German suplex exchange... where, you know, Kenta Germans Ishii, and then Ishii comes back and no sells it and Germans Kenta, you can see Kenta lands really badly. Like, his, he lands, like, right on his head and his neck. And I think he was concussed right there. So Kenta, you know, really just, like, at that point was, you know, he looked like he had the glassy eyes. You couldn't tell what was going on. He botched a couple moves. He
forgot to kick out at one point.
He forgot to kick out of a move, and the referee had to, like, stop counting. Now,
at this point, you knew he must be winning the title, or else they'd just take it home.
Right, that was my point. Like at this point, it's like the ref would just, like, end the match because, you know, obviously, Kenta couldn't go anymore. The problem is they needed an interference spot. They had planned because that's how Kenta was going to win. So G.O.D. runs in. Which, by the way, was kind of stupid because it was very obviously should have been DQ. Like, they pull the ref out, and then, you know, they just... Like, I really wish New Japan would, like...
Buddy, you get mad at JR for saying this shit, so don't... No. You start...
Tag matches is fine. This shit, it's like they need to be consistent one way or the other about whether pulling the ref out is a DQ.
Hey, the ref's supposed to let the match go on, I thought, buddy. Never insult New Japan's refs.
Okay. JR is an asshole. JR does it in the middle of tag matches just because he's not doing a five count. I'm talking about whether or not pulling a ref out is a DQ. Anyway, Kenta beats Ishii with the go to sleep. I don't know. I mean,
does the go to sleep better than CM Punk. I don't care what people on Twitter say.
Somehow they did a good go to sleep here, even though Kenta looked like he was
Stand. Even like half conscious, he does.
There was also one point where Kenta got like a really hit Ishii like a really hard slap, and I was like, how do you even get that much behind your slap when you're like, you're out on your feet?
I haven't been able to find any info yet. I wonder if he'll have to vacate the title or what's going to happen here, or if he can keep going.
So I went 3.25. You know, it's not that I thought it was bad. I mean, the good parts were still really good.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't really say it was a great match.
They screwed up a lot of shit because Kenta just, like, was, like, on another planet
for
a
while. I mean, you can't blame the guy. I mean, the guy's fucking...
He was
not
physically there, but not mentally there for a while. And that shit happens. I mean...
Yeah.
I didn't think overall the match was embarrassing as that Goldberg-Undertaker thing. But... I mean,
some people
he actually was able to do some spots right.
Some people on Twitter get mad at you. There's people say that match is good.
What?
The Goldberg Undertaker.
Who? No.
People on Twitter say that match is good.
Who?
People on Twitter. I don't know. They say that match
You're
is
lying.
Good. What do you want me to tell you? People say
you
it's
are
good.
So full of shit. I'm not.
I'm serious.
No.
People on Twitter like anything. What do you want me to tell you?
I could say something right now, but it'd make people mad, so I'm not going
to
say it.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr. This was awesome. So Tanahashi wins the British Heavyweight Championship with the High Fly Flow.
Finally.
This was really good. Yep. Like I
forgot my Tanahashi shirt, and I think that's why he won.
But yeah, I mean, look, it was a very, very technical match. A lot of back and forth technical wrestling, like you'd expect. This is a match where, like, it really came home to me, and I've had this thought a couple times before.
I know what you're saying.
Because we're going to talk about them later. AEW needs a technical wrestler.
Yep.
They have nobody on that fucking roster who can wrestle, and I don't mean that like in a prerogative way or like, oh, Carter Michaels a bad wrestler or anything like that. I just mean like. Like mat wrestling, technical wrestling, whatever you think about Zack Sabre Jr. Because I know there's some people don't like him. I mean, he obviously has like technical wrestling skill.
Yeah.
And there's wrestlers out there. Like I know there's a rumor going around that David Starr, because he lost that Revolution Pro main event, that maybe he'll go to AEW, and that would be perfect because that's exactly what they fucking need. Is they need somebody who can mat wrestle, but they have nobody. Like who is their best mat? Who is the best mat wrestler in AEW?
I don't know.
I sincerely don't know. It might be Dustin Rhodes.
It could be. Yeah,
like, I can't think of anybody on the entire roster who I would call like a very good mat wrestler. So like, it clicked in my head because I was thinking about like, why am I more negative on these shows than a lot of other people are with AEW? You know, why am I not enjoying? It's because like I really enjoy technical wrestling and I really enjoy mat wrestling, and there's like none of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's none on these AEW shows. So if AEW is missing anything. That's why I think they're missing like this, basically.
Yeah.
Like a match that you can put in the semi-main event slot that can go 20 minutes and just be like almost entirely on the mat, which, you know, I enjoy watching. You know, I think a lot of people do too. As far as, obviously I'm not saying that's going to like be or make or break for success on TNT or anything, but like it's just a personal preference kind of thing. As far as this match itself, I thought it was awesome. You know, it was like a really back and forth match. It didn't, some of their other matches I feel like have been maybe even too focused on one limb, you know? Mm. Like, that match at MSG where, like, they were really, really, really focused on the arm. Here, I mean, it was focused on the arm, but, like, it was still, like, a very back-and-forth, like, competitive match, you know, similar to the one they had at Cork in the G1, which I also really liked. And so I put this one above the MSG match. The only one of their matches I really, like, didn't like was the IC title match of Destruction a couple years ago. So this was a lot better than that. I went 4 stars on it. There was a spot at one point where, like, Zach dodged a, like, he dodged a basement dropkick just by moving his leg out of the way at the last second, and then, like, all in one motion got Tanahashi's neck and did, like, a neck crank. That was so fucking cool. Yeah. That might have been the coolest fight he's ever done.
I like when the fans start chanting for Red Shoes, and Zack Sabre gave him, like, the dirtiest look.
And Zack was, like, in a move.
In
the
move, and he just took a break for a second just to give him the fuck you look, and Red Shoes, like, bowed and said, "I'm sorry, yeah. I don't know why they're chanting for me." And then when he was trying to reverse, you know, out of the movie, he would just point, "Rich, I'm gonna fucking get you, motherfucker," and then go back to Tanahashi.
Yeah. But yeah, I went 4 stars on this. I thought it was really good.
At this point, this was my favorite match on the
show.
Oh,
yeah, not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they've had better matches. I think probably both their G1 matches and both their New Japan Cup matches. Or actually, I don't know. I don't think I like the New Japan Cup final as much as some people. But the New Japan Cup match this year was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was still really good. And, you know, I'm glad. I don't want to say it saved the show, because the show wasn't, like, brutally bad or anything. But, like, it definitely brought the show to like, a better level.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main event, which even did that even more, I guess.
Yeah, this main event was awesome.
Minoru Suzuki and Kazuchika Okada. This is a match where, like, you know, going in, I wasn't, like, super hyped, you know? Like, it wasn't that I wasn't looking forward to it, but it's like, okay, we've seen this match.
There's going
to
be a match, well, I wonder who's going to win. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get me invested, but then Suzuki's just awesome. And so is Okada. And if you notice, going in, they got pretty much an equal pop. Suzuki got a huge pop, and Okada got a huge pop when they came out, but towards the end of this match, they were booing Okada.
And people are going to be like, oh, I don't think they meant to do that. I disagree.
No.
Like, Suzuki worked this match like a fucking babyface.
Yeah.
Because he's very popular in the UK. So I don't think that they... Like, people are going to think, oh, you know, they didn't get the response they wanted. Mm. I think they clearly were going for that. I think Okada, you know, even though he's also a babyface, he has that, like, ace quality. Like people, Tanahashi used to have this too.
Yeah.
Where the people would root for get behind the challengers.
The underdog.
Yeah.
They want to cheer for the underdog. Suzuki was definitely the underdog going into this match.
And it's not some, like, rejection of the champ.
No.
Like, you're thinking of
and
that.
And they cheered him when the match, and I said, they're booing him now, but when he wins, they're going to cheer him when he does his promo. They're not going to go, oh, boo, and, like, flock to the exits, like, you know, Backlash or, like, a WWE show when you're going to be like, okay, now that you won, we'll cheer you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're thinking like a Western wrestling mindset if you think that the crowd rejected Okada. Anyway.
But they do that kind of in America, too.
Well, not as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this match was awesome. I mean, again, very, very back and forth. It went like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And did not, like, when you told me.
It was like almost 30 minutes. I couldn't believe it either.
It felt like
I thought maybe almost 20.
I would have guessed like 15.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it felt like nothing. So it's basically, you know, they do these forearms, and Okada hits some really weak forearms, which he does sometimes. And Suzuki straight up laughs in his fucking face, which was like the coolest fucking spot, and the crowd goes nuts for that. And then Suzuki commits a murder, basically, with these forearms, where he, like, throws a bunch really, really hard right in the face, and Okada ends up in a seated position, and Suzuki, like, tells the crowd to shut up, and then hits someone right in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my god.
That drop kick he did out of nowhere was also awesome.
Yeah,
was running toward, and he just said, and hit the ropes, and he just hit that fucking drop kick.
He killed him.
Yeah.
And then the crowd really got on Okada when he started doing the sleeper.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's Suzuki sleeper, motherfucker.
Yeah, what are you doing?
They started booing him really bad. And then towards the end of it, you know, there was a great, like, some of these Rainmaker counters, I always say this, some of them are hit really well, some of them don't. Suzuki, he always did that spot where, like, he has you in the sleeper and then, like, basically spins you around into the pile driver position.
Mm-hmm.
Okada, like, in mid-spin, hits the fucking clothesline.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
And, like, it's just such a cool spot. And again, it's amazing they came up with a new spot when this is, like, their 8th singles match together.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the fact that they actually were able to come up with a spot I'd never seen them do before was pretty cool. But, yeah, so this was really good. They kept teasing the Got style pile driver, and it looked like, it almost looked like, you know, like you could buy Suzuki hitting it, you know, Like, you really felt like,
yeah,
maybe he'll actually pull it off.
He'll actually do it, yeah.
And then Okada obviously fights him off. He hits the spinning tombstone and hits the Rainmaker and gets the pin. I went 4.5 stars. I thought this was fucking awesome. At least their best match since the 2017 G1. Remember that one, the 30-minute draw?
Yeah.
I think that one I might have liked a little better, but it's very close. So this was really good. A lot better than I was expecting going in. Like, if you had guessed, told me to guess how what this match rating would have been beforehand, I would have guessed like 4 flat, maybe. Like, yeah, really good, but not like, you know, at that amazing level. But this was like really, really
good.
This
is awesome. And,
So really put like a very strong capper on the show.
But then there was one more thing.
Oh yeah, Sonata came out afterwards to chat. So apparently Okada called him out when he spoke Japanese.
Well, yeah, he said like there's someone else that deserves a title shot or something.
And so Sonata came out and basically stared down with him. I assume that's for King of Pro Wrestling.
Because
I don't know why you'd use that for Destruction when you already have... I mean, you have Naito White for Destruction in Kobe, and neither of the other two Destruction shows are really that big. I mean, it's Kagoshima and I don't even know where the hell...
Yeah,
where
I
the
think
fuck's...
it was the Junior Protect or...
What the fuck's the other Destruction show? Oh, Beppu. Yeah, it's not really... Not really a... I should be like Joe Landers and say Beepu. It makes me laugh every
Beepu.
No, it's Beppu. But yes, it's a, that's a, you know, I don't really see Beppu or Kagoshima. Apologies to the great people of both cities, but I'd assume it's King of Pro Wrestling for that. I mean, you could do a never title match there. You could, like, they made a the junior tag earlier this year. I guess you could try that if you're feeling really adventurous. I mean, they could do a briefcase defense too. Like a Bushi Evil.
Yeah. Or a Bushi,
Or Bushi Kenta. I think that's King of Pro Wrestling. Yeah. I think. But
if Kenta can, be there.
Kenta can make it there, yeah, that's true. But yeah,
I hope he can. I hope Kenta's okay.
I do. I think he's. I mean, hopefully, it was like one of those.
I'm afraid he's going to start getting that. You know,
I'm sure he already has that.
That rep that he just gets concussions a lot. But it can. Is that something that can happen to someone, or it's just you're unlucky?
I think.
Right?
No, I think.
Can you be prone to concussions more likely than someone else?
I think they're more likely to be repeat.
Oh, if you get one, you're more likely to get more.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an overall show. You know, like I said, they had a lot of weird technical issues early on. You know, I think the undercard probably would have been a lot more fun if we could have watched it correctly without buffering every 2 seconds.
And that never title match could have been awesome.
But then, it was awesome, and then
it
fell apart.
It was awesome, and then it got bad.
Yeah. But still, the last two matches. I mean, anytime
awesome.
You have
yeah.
a 4-star match and a 4.5-star match, I mean...
Main event was one of the best title defenses of the title matches this year.
Yeah.
Any promotion.
I think it was really good. I mean, like, I'm trying to think of the better title matches in New Japan.
This year?
Yeah. I mean, because Sanada Okada's title matches have been pretty disappointing.
Who was he defended against after
the Jay White, when he won one match we won, I didn't... Some people love that match, I didn't like that
one. Oh,
yeah,
rematch with Jay White.
No, I'm saying he won the title from Jay White.
Yeah.
They never
had a rematch.
No. The Sanada title defense... That was their weakest one of the three Sanada
matches
by a mile.
Yeah.
I mean, the other two matches were so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, I only went like 3.25, 3.5. And the other two matches were awesome. So, I mean, I went 4.75 on both of them. I'm trying to think what else.
Did
who else did Okada?
Defense?
No. I think this is his third defense.
Yeah.
So, oh, wait. So he must have one other one. Oh, Dominion against Jericho, which fucking sucked.
Yeah.
We forgot about that. We were there. We forgot.
Well, it was following Naito and Ibushi, which is better. And the main event.
I just can't believe we forgot about the one we were there for.
And the main event finish was kind of like.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It wasn't good. I mean, look, it was
I thought the match was good, and then...
I didn't think it was...
If you're gonna...
I thought it was better than Jericho and Omega.
I think they could have a fucking, like, rematch. I don't know with that finish, but whatever.
I think they wanted to keep him strong because he's waiting for... Or he didn't want to lose just with the Rainmaker because he's facing Kenny, like, a week later, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or he'd just beaten Kenny? I don't know.
Which,
I think he'd just beaten Kenny. Yeah. I think he had beaten Kenny, like, a week before. But yeah, I don't know. The whole thing here is, you know, they have him a ton of great... I mean, Tanahashi White, I had like a 4 flat. Tanahashi Omega, I had 4.25. But obviously a lot of people have that like a 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. Tanahashi, which one?
Oh, Tanahashi Omega.
Oh, yeah.
I went 4.25. I thought it was really good, but I didn't think it was like 5 stars.
Yeah,
good.
Around that area.
Oh.
I think I thought it was a little bit better, maybe 4.5. But I when people kept saying 5 stars, I wouldn't go that
So
far.
This could be the best heavyweight title match of the year.
Yeah,
IWGP.
Yeah, actually, you know what? 4.25 for that one, yeah, because this one is my favorite this
year. So this
is
probably the best IWGP heavyweight title match. Because most of my other high-end New Japan matches are either Intercontinental, mm-hmm. or their G1 or New Japan Cup.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, it, like, so there you go. All right. What's coming up for New Japan? We got the Road to Destruction. It kicks off this week. Cork and Hall. So, I mean, look, they're going to have a few days off here after London, but not that many, because then they're flying back.
Tuesday.
So, Road to Destruction is Wednesday, buddy. Wednesday.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm looking right at the...
Oh, I'm getting confused because Monday is Labor Day, so it's...
Yes. Yeah. Road to Destruction is going to be three straight nights at Cork and Hall, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday in Chiba, the Nagata show is also airing. We don't have full lineups yet. I assume we're going to get them probably like tomorrow, but we do know Wednesday has the Shota Umino and Clark Connors and Yota Tsuji against Alex Coughlin, which are both matches in the Young Lions Cup. Thursday at Korakuen has Red Narita, if he can go, which I hope he can, against Carl Fredericks, and Yuya Uemura against Michael Richards, not Kramer.
Yeah.
Because everybody's made that joke, but every time I see that name, I'm like, what the fuck? Wow. But he's like the Folly Dojo Young Lion.
Yeah.
And then Friday has Clark Connors against Carl Fredericks, the Battle of the LA Young Lions, and Alex Coughlin against Michael Richards. And then Sunday in Chiba has Shota Umino and Red Narita, which should be awesome. Mm-hmm. And Yota Tsuji and Yuya Uemura, which also should be quite great. And then we have the Nagata anniversary match already announced, which is Nagata, Tenzan, Kojima, Nakanishi, and Jushin Thunder Liger against Fale, the G.O.D., Yujiro Takahashi, and Jado. So there you go. That's what's coming up this week up for New Japan. And then we have Beppu and Kagoshima, which will be a couple weeks from now. And then a tour wraps up with Destruction in Kobe in about 3 weeks. And then after that, we'll be going to the Fighting Spirit Unleashed show. Yeah, so an exciting month in Japan. And don't forget, too, we'll get the Super J-Cup shows this month, too.
Yeah.
So they said September. I'm hearing, like, mid-September. So hopefully that'll come, like, right in the period where, like, between those shows that air this week and the Beppu and Kagoshima shows. So hopefully it comes during that week. All right, folks. So we're going to cut it here for New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Through the magic of radio, we'll be right back with the All Out review after we finish watching that one. So see you in a sec. Mm-hmm. All right, we just finished watching AEW All Out, the second pay-per-view, the fourth show overall of All Elite Wrestling. What do you think of the show overall, Quinlan? I know you guys in trouble last time.
It was good.
That's my favorite running joke. All those one-star reviews you got me for hating on Double or Nothing. You thought it was better than Double or Nothing?
Probably, I guess.
I thought it was okay. So my big thing with the show All Out was it just kind of dragged, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it went way too long. But, like,
I wish we had skipped the pre-show.
But as far as the actual matches and stuff, like, to me it was about what I expected. Maybe Omega Pac, like, was a little disappointing, but then the main event was a lot better.
I like that match.
All right, well, we'll talk about it when we get to it. But the main event was better than I expected it to be. So, you know, overall, I guess it's about what I expected. I would say good show. Maybe, I don't think as good as Double or Nothing, but definitely better than the last two shows, which I didn't really care for. Okay.
It was, to watch, for someone that watches, like, all those WWE pay-per-views, to see a show where, like, every match had a finish where somebody beat somebody else, and that was it. There was a winner and there was a loser, and they didn't overthink everything, and they didn't do all this crap. And so, I mean, like, a guy would just hit the other guy with his move and win.
Wow.
And I was like, I kept waiting for, like, with every match, oh, well, it's gonna turn out he had his foot under the rope, oh, so he didn't really beat him, blah 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 blah, blah. No. They were winners and they were losers, and that's what they're doing, and I like that. So, I mean, even if the matches weren't the greatest ever, at least they're having winners and losers. And in American wrestling, we don't get that.
I know. American's the main thing, because you can get that from your place.
Yeah, that's why I said American.
But yeah, like, I mean, I don't watch WWE shows, so I don't have that favorite reference.
Where, you know, like, even on, I mean, I didn't watch that NXT UK show, but you said the stupid False Count Anywhere had a stupid finish where a guy fell in a box or something, so
yeah,
he won when he didn't really do anything to win. He just got lucky.
I feel like every single takeover has one of those finishes.
And that's what sometimes they just have a finish where a guy got lucky and won, and it's like, okay, so both of them suck, I guess. I mean, neither of them was a winner. They're trying to protect them both, and they end up both looking like dorks. This is no Jericho. Paige wasn't good enough, and Jericho beat him. Omega, you know, underestimated Pac, or whatever you want to say, and Pac beat him.
Apparently it's Pac.
Pac.
That was a big thing on Twitter today.
Whatever. the bastard. I'm just going to call him that, because I said that like 50 times.
Or you call him the dumb bastard, like JR did.
Like JR. And
I couldn't believe you said that. All right, let's get into this.
There were angles, there were run-ins, but they would happen after the match is over.
I agree that it's much more impressive.
I like that better.
Like, we need, especially in American wrestling, we need, like, a dose of this shit.
And it was, like, a shock to my system to see an American pay-per-view where guys would just beat other guys. And that'd be like, yeah, that guy won because he's better, not because he fell in a box or he, I don't know, because the ref was an idiot and missed something. Or because someone else's music hit. And
it's illegal.
And that distracted them.
It's illegal to wrestle when someone else's music plays. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the show opened with the buy-in, the pre-show. We began with the 21-woman casino battle royale.
That blew the men's battle royale.
Yeah,
out of the water
this was so much better than the men's battle. I mean, I still think the five entrant thing is kind of goofy.
What are the odds? All those people got eliminated. It's just that time for the next group to come out. It's like,
Very TNA. I still don't like that gimmick, and it looks like it's going to be a regular thing.
It looks like we're stuck with it.
But as far as the match itself, let me read the competitors. It was Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, Brandi Rhodes, Teal Piper.
Oh, Britt Baker, did you know she's a dentist?
I heard.
Oh, okay.
Ivelisse, sure. Jazz, Big Swole, Sadie Gibbs, Awesome Kong, Shayna McKenzie, Ali. Why did this thing stop before 21? I don't know if they missed. Nicole Savoy, ODB.
Jazz.
Tennille Jasper, I definitely said Jazz. Oh. B. Priestley. Did I miss anybody? Penelope Ford.
Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah, Mercedes Martinez. I think that's everybody. Oh, Fabia Pacci, Priscilla Kelly, Shalandra, I don't know who that is, Layla Bates. Okay, I think I saw them
people.
All. So Mercedes Martinez was a big surprise, the Joker of the deck. Mm-hmm. And the crowd went nuts for her.
Yeah.
Like, she got a humongous pop.
The crowd reacted before the camera went to who it was.
I mean, this is a very hardcore crowd, I guess. So, like, because she's never really had any major... Like U.S.
She was in one of the Mae Young Classics, but that's...
Oh, she was?
I'm pretty sure she was, yeah.
She was in Ring of Honor for a brief time, too, I think.
She was in the Vulture Squad a few years ago.
But she's never had, like, a ton of exposure.
She hasn't.
But yeah, the crowd went nuts for her. Nyla Rose ended up winning, which... interesting. I mean, there were a couple interesting things here where I thought for sure Britt Baker was winning this. Because they would not...
I don't think she's just that bad. It's just that they never showed up about the, about the fact that she's a fucking dentist.
I think she's below average. Okay. They never shut the fuck up. It's like every... She comes down and the announcer's like, oh, the dentist is here. Now, what wasn't bad, though, was the match, which, as we said... Like you said, it just blew the men's battle royale out of the water.
That was a complete clusterfuck. This one was a lot better.
This was like a totally fine battle royale.
Yeah.
So that's like a million times better than the men's battle royale. So Nyla Rose gets the win, and that means she is wrestling for the AEW Women's World title on October 2nd, the first episode on TNT. Mm-hmm. Then the other pre-show match was Private Party against Angelico and Jack Evans.
This was not as good.
Private Party won the match with a combination diamond cutter on Angelico off the top rope. I mean, look, this match, and, you know, I feel like a lot of these types of matches on these AEW shows, it's basically like every U.S. Indies match I've ever seen, where it's like, there's some very cool spots.
Yeah.
There's also some spots that
make no sense.
That make no sense.
They do a million things where it just ends with a kick to the face, and it's like, why can't you just kick him in the face? Why'd you have to flip around and do cartwheels and stand on one hand just to kick him in the face? When you could just kick him in the face.
You don't
need to do all that shit.
Or the spot doesn't land at all.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about that with Aussie
Open. Or they fuck it up. Yeah.
In the first half, where, like, it just looks awkward sometimes. But, yeah. And there's just absolutely no flow in the match at all.
No.
Like, it feels like nothing's... I don't know how to... Like, flow is a hard thing to, like, quantify, you know? But it's like, in a good match, especially, like, a really good match... You know, it just feels like you're going from moment to moment naturally. In these types of matches, it just feels like, okay, here's
spot.
A thing. Okay, now nothing. Now here's a spot. Now nothing. Now here's a spot.
Yeah.
And they would, like, tag constantly. That happened, too, in the Best Friends match, which, I don't know. It just didn't work for me. I went 2 stars on it. I know some people love this, but I think Angelico is, like, really bad. So Angelico and Jack Evans attacked them afterwards, so I guess...
This finish I didn't like because... Private Party won, but then Angelico and Jack Evans laid them out, so it's like no one really got over it.
Yeah, that's WWE.
And that's a WWE finish, and I was like, don't do that, guys. Come on.
The main card opened up with Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt.
That their entrance
against SoCal Uncensored, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky. So SCU won with Daniels saying the best moonsault ever, while Kazarian held Stunt and Jungle Boy in the Pyro Dryer position at the same time, and they all shook hands after the match. Mm-hmm. This is perfectly fine. Oh, I forgot, by the way, before I meant to mention this in that last match. The Jack Evans, during that Jack Evans and Haley Go against Private Party match, he ended up on the top rope, and I think like they mistimed it, and he ended up like standing on the top rope, like gyrating.
Yeah.
He just stood there and like wiggled his hips, and it felt like that was like the modern version of the 2002 Rico yelling for Jeff. Come on, Jeff, goddammit!
Come on, Jeff, goddammit! Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I remember that. Because
we were there, so I know.
You were there, I wasn't there.
Oh, I was there, you weren't there.
You were there with your brother.
Yeah, and that's like, I'll never forget that spot, because when you watch it back on TV, you can see him just yell, come on, Jeff, goddammit!
Come on, Jeff, goddammit!
Instead of yelling, come on, whichever member of Private Party, goddammit, he just kind of like wiggled his hips.
Like, let's go.
Like, da 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 da. I was like, because the guy, he did just stand there, like gyrating. It looked really weird and really funny. But yeah, so back to the main card opener. This was a totally solid, fun opener. I mean, look, SCU is one of those things where, like, I'm never going to get it when it comes to the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just a, it's really just a, you know, it has go away heat with me. I mean, like, it's just basically a bunch of catchphrases. So I'm not really a big fan of the gimmick. And but, like, as far as in the ring, they're still fine.
Yeah.
And they worked a fun little match here. So, like, 3.25, it was good. Definitely a good
one. It's going to be sad when the dinosaur turns on his young boys one day, which I'm sure he will. But that intro is great with the Jurassic Park, with the screen shaking, and the SCU looking around like, what's that? As the screen shook, and you hear I thought that was cool. That was very creative.
So, Pac and Kenny Omega.
My best match on the show, I thought.
Okay. Pac shockingly.
I know you can't. If this was Naito and insert name here, you would have been given it 10 stars. But
lots of people didn't think this was
that
good. Okay. Because you know why? Because Naito and insert name here probably would actually be really good, and this wasn't. This was the match I was most excited for on the show. Yeah.
I thought it was right. It had a different type of finish. Where, I mean, this was something. I know New Japan has done this lately where a guy is literally, like, unconscious. He's gone. And the ref doesn't ring the bell. The ref just stands there like, well, let's keep going. And I'm like, why is this match still going? The guy is dead. He's not. His arm fell 3 times. He's not responding. And the ref just sits there. He's like, well, let's wait till he wakes up, I guess. And I'm like, why aren't we ending the match? And Dean Ambrose, well, okay, John Moxley even said, I don't know how I lost a match when the guy was unconscious. And this one, they're like, okay, he's unconscious. The match is over.
I'm glad you liked it.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. I mean, I didn't really, really hate it or anything. But first of all, the first thing I want to mention is they mentioned New Japan, I think, by name for the first time ever. Because I think they always avoided it on the past three shows. I could be wrong.
They did? When did they say it?
Because they said it early. Don't you remember early at the show where they were talking about both of their, like, when they're both coming out.
Oh,
like,
former world champions or whatever.
Yeah, they were like, Kenny Omega's a former champion, New Japan, and Pac is a former
champion. Did they actually say New Japan?
They actually said New Japan. That's what I'm saying. This is different than last time. And then JR said, quote, Kenny Omega was the biggest star New Japan had. I'm making a jerk-off motion because
in America.
If you add in America, that's fine. He clearly was a humongous star, and he clearly made a difference in American attendance. In Japan, he was not the biggest star they had.
No.
But
pretend like he wasn't a big.
He was a really big star.
But he,
like,
wasn't the biggest in Japan.
If he was the biggest star, would crowds not be down this year?
I know.
They'd be down.
But he was a big star. You're acting like this is a crime against humanity.
No. Okay. But he's clearly below Tanahashi, Okada, Naito. I guess that's probably at least three people.
But it'd be stupid if JR is trying to promote his product and say, well, this guy was the 7th biggest star in that other promotion in Japan.
Well,
so cheer for him. And it's like, oh, that sounds stupid.
I'm correcting the record.
I know. But
as far as, and then he called back a dub fast. Oh, the crowd chant 205.
I know. That's what I thought it was. 205. That was funny.
But yes. Then at one point, Pac is the bastard, right?
Yeah.
So Golden Boy said like the bastard Pac, and then Pac JR gets really mad about covers. Everybody gets really, really
that
mad.
And refs that don't count.
And Pac at one point like didn't do a good cover, and JR was like, "Why he's a dumb bastard because he didn't go for a cover." And I just fucking like cracked up laughing.
That was funny.
He just called him a dumb bastard.
That was one of two great lines JR had.
Why he's a dumb bastard.
We'll get to the other one later, but he had two great lines.
He's a dumb bastard. Yeah, Pack is a dumb bastard.
Oh, he's a dumb bastard. Not going on that cover, I'll tell you that. He had one other great line. We'll get to that.
But yeah, so here's my issues with the
match. And it was weird this match was so early in the card.
Yeah. So my issues with the match.
Kenny Omega's in it. He's too popular, I know. But, sorry.
The first 10 minutes, I felt like all he did was jump around. Mm-hmm. That's all the first 10 minutes was the two of them attempting dives and doing dives and hitting drop kicks off the top rope. It was so fucking boring. By the end of the 10 minutes, I was just like, can you do something other than a fucking dive? After that, it did get really good, like, for a little while. But when the match only goes about 20 minutes, I think halfway, like, half of the match, you know, if half of the match is that bad, which I thought the first half of the match was, like, actively bad, I can't see going that high in the match. And I didn't really like the finish, because it did feel really out of nowhere and not in a good way. So, well, I felt like a wet fart. I mean, the crowd acted like they just heard a wet fart.
I wouldn't mind if promotions start doing that. And New Japan has, I think, done that before. Have a finish where a guy wins with a move other than his finisher, or else you train your fans to think, well,
the match
isn't over.
Well, they don't even know Pac's finisher.
I know, but
it's not a good example. Anyway, 3.5 stars is what I gave it. What's good, you know, but just the first half of the match was not very good. So I can't see going higher than that. After that, I'm sorry, sir. Do you have anything else to say?
No, that's it. Let's move on.
The Cracker Barrel Clash. Yes. Darby Allin, Joey Janela, and Jimmy Havoc. First of all, who the fuck in Cracker Barrel Marketing HQ was like, we need to sponsor a match on this AEW show. How about we pick the match with three absolutely insane motherfuckers who are going to pour thumbtacks down each other's throats and hit each other
that's not what happened.
With a skateboard with thumbtacks on the bottom? Like, is Cracker Barrel insane?
He didn't swallow the thumbtacks.
Okay, I know
he
didn't
spit them out later.
But look, isn't Cracker Barrel kind of weird for, like,
that was a weird match to sponsor, yes.
That was my point.
You could probably do worse damage to your body by eating there. But no, I don't know. Maybe their food, I haven't eaten there since I was a kid. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what their food's like. I haven't eaten there many, many, many years. Their food might be perfectly great.
I also have to say, obviously, there was a million bumps in this match that looked like someone was going to die. I mean, there was that Darby Allin, like, fucking, I don't even know what it was, like a...
There's one where
like
he just fell on the floor.
It was like a pile driver on the apron, but it was like a springboard into a flip pile driver. That looked like it was going to kill him. And again, I'm going to bring this up every time because it fucking pisses me off. Where are the fucking people falling on their fucking fainting couches for every goddamn Naito Ibushi match?
I know. I was thinking that during this match.
Like, they're fucking diving off the fucking top rope.
And I was
rope.
Thinking about that during the ladder match later. I'm like, where are all the drama queens who saw friggin', you know, Naito Ibushi and then saw this bullshit where they're falling on the edge of the ladder and shit like that?
Yeah,
like,
they're never around for the white people.
They're not,
I mean, let's be real.
Those
they're
guys
never
are not
around for the white people.
Be able to walk
it's,
past 40.
We're only here to yell at the Japanese people for falling on their necks, but when these people fucking take when
do
Darby Allin
shit.
Takes a neck bump on the apron, or when another guy fucking jumps off the top rope into a barrel on a fucking
that's
pair
not
of
even
steps.
The worst I thought this match was which one was it? He fell, and he just landed on metal, and there was nobody there. Where was that? Did he forget to catch him?
The camera shot was really bad.
Okay, that's,
so
he was there, and he moved out of the way.
Yeah,
okay.
But the way the camera shot looked, you see
it looked
him,
like he just fell and decided to just fall into nothing.
You
just,
see him go to jump.
Like he was targeting an invisible man
and
that wasn't
there.
And then
it cuts to the floor, and there's nobody, and you can clearly see no one's there.
And it looked like they hadn't been there a while.
Yeah,
like,
so it looked really
okay,
bad.
Okay, that's what it was. But it was still fucking stupid.
And his leg,
way.
Like, crashed into the steel.
And you heard, not a crack, but, like, you heard a really loud, like,
yeah.
And it's like, did he just break his leg? And, like, his eyes looked, like, glazed over as he was laying there.
But again, Naito and Ibushi, the only people that do
and then
dangerous things.
JR had his other great line with the skateboard part, and he said, well, I thought about taking that up as a hobby in my younger days.
Oh, yeah,
that
was really...
did not go through with it. But that skateboard with attacks is also pretty creative. I mean, yeah. I didn't think this was as bad as death matches. There was no glass, shit like that.
The glass is the
really
only
gets
difference.
To me.
The glass
no,
is the
only... they use syringes, they use cinder blocks, they use all this
they
weed whackers.
Ate
they didn't.
Thumbtacks in this match.
Okay, John, to eat something, you have to swallow it.
Okay.
They spit it out.
Jimmy Havoc won this match, which was the funniest result. So that was funny. I don't know how to rate this. I said I saw people give them like five stars.
I'll rate it fun. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was fun to enjoy. It did not bore me. It never bored me.
It's not even a match. Yeah. It was a spectacle.
Yeah.
Like even Japanese death matches generally have more of a match like structure.
Yeah.
Like a one on one guy. This is like a three people just doing
crazy shit,
just doing a bunch of shit. So
it was entertaining.
It was entertaining, but it was... after that, they made possibly the weirdest choice. Now, the one thing I will say about this match is it killed the fucking crowd for the next two matches. Because how can you go from that to the fucking Dark Order?
Yeah.
So we had
the one thing that everyone agrees is not over with AEW.
So the best friends in the Dark Order, the Dark Order got the pin. So, you know, they hit the Fatality and Beretta and beat him. The only match that had cheating. What's it called, guys? I guess Cody another one, but this is what it played in the finish.
In the finish. That's the
creepers.
I didn't hate this match as much as you, but
I didn't hate it.
It went a little too long.
It just wasn't good. I mean, 2.75.
I
mean, that doesn't mean I hate it.
You're not the only one. You said this during the match, and people on Twitter were saying it. If two guys are wrestling for a buy in the first round, isn't that basically the first round?
Obviously.
I mean, I guess. Maybe the best friends will still be in the tournament, and that's the point.
Yeah.
And they'll just now they'll have to wrestle an extra match. But I mean, I don't know. That's just, so all that's happening is they didn't gain anything. It's just that the best friends wrestle an extra match. I mean, but I don't know. Whatever. Like, I think that's still really weird that this whole thing has been for a bye.
If the best friends had won this, they would have won two matches.
Yeah.
To get into a bye because they had to beat Evans and Heligo, I think, to get this match.
Yeah.
So,
it's very strange.
As far as the match itself, I thought it was, you know, like I said, I thought it was fine. I went 2.75. The Dark Order's still not working. And they're trying, but the gimmick is not. I mean, they're the one gimmick in this entire company. It's just
that the crowd never cares.
The crowd
about.
Never gives a shit. So, after that, we had Riho and Hikaru Shida. And again,
the crowd was still kind of like,
yeah.
I mean, they picked at the end of the last match, and they picked up for a moment here, but.
This was, I thought this was really good.
It was pretty good.
Hikaru Shida, like, played big bully heel really well, because she's, you know, I mean, she's like 5'4", but, like, Riho is 5 foot and, like, 90 pounds. So Shida just, like, basically bullied her around and, like, you know, threw her around and was kicking her and stuff.
This match was not for the women's title, despite what the announcers told her.
Oh, yeah, JR said one of these two women will be
women's
the women's champions. Like, no, the winner will face neither Rose for the women's title.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was, I enjoyed this. There was at one point JR got so angry when Hikaru Shida had Riho in some submission. I think I got a stretch muffler or something, and Riho like climbed on the rope, and then Shida pulled her off. And JR was like, "God, tell the ref about the separation. Has to be separation." He was like screaming. I'm like, "Can you calm down, buddy? It's not that big a deal."
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was good. I love the flash pin finish. We need more flash pins in American wrestling. She's like spun her around and pinned her. It was great.
I like the finish too.
Yeah. I went 3.75.
Yeah.
It was a very good match, just below 4. I think it would have been better if they had more time. I think only went about 13 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
And definitely would have been better.
It went the same time as the previous match, but this felt a lot shorter.
Yeah, I mean, they needed
more. Time is relative. So, and then.
Then we had Cody and Sean.
I kind of like this. I thought this was entertaining.
I did not.
Some things made no sense. Isn't MGF is a heel, right?
Yeah, but he's buddies with Cody.
But Cody's obviously a face most of the time. So I thought for sure MGF was turning on him in this match.
Well, they're going to wait longer for it,
he never did, I guess. I think the perfect opportunity was here. But, I mean, this was all spot to build up to Arn Anderson coming out, basically, I felt like. And the crowd popped
huge. That was the only thing in the match.
The crowd exploded
for
that.
Okay, so let me go through the match a little bit. So, Cody versus Sean Spears. I mean, the best part of the match by far, other than the Arn Anderson thing, was the pre-match, like when they brawled all over the ringside. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they got back into the ring, I thought the match just fell apart, and it was just so fucking boring.
Okay.
I mean, Sean Spears, when the bell rang, he was still the 10 guy.
Yeah.
And he was so, his control section was just so fucking boring. When Cody made his comeback, it was a little better. It was kind of funny he did an odds cutter, but... then they did like a long countdown tease. It felt like it went on forever. And I was falling the fuck asleep.
Cody came out just to Star Trek.
Yes.
Cody's dog did not want to be there.
And then Arn Anderson runs out and does the spine buster. That was fucking awesome.
Tully Blanchard was great too, yeah. I thought, in this match.
And then Cody just beat him clean. Yeah. He had a chance to hit him with the chair. Like, Spears was like, do it and be as bad as me. But Cody himself, like, hit him with the disaster kick into the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And then hit the fucking, oh god, the crossroads. I couldn't think of that for
a second. I thought it didn't go too long.
Got the pin. I didn't like it. I went 2.25.
I just thought MJF looked kind of like a dork out there.
Well, not MJF. Sean Spears looked like the biggest dork of all time.
Yeah.
He starts this entire fucking feud and loses clean.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, basically it was like, is Sean Spears, I guess, was a good hand, like Cody said. Just a good hand, player coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see how you do that fucking feud idea and not have Sean Spears at least win the first match.
Well, I guess, I mean, this feud is probably over, maybe. I don't know.
And now he's going to go into a match with Jon Moxley, and what, he's going to lose to him too? Because remember, they're facing each other like the second or third week of TV.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's why I'm like, I was surprised. That's why I was really shocked he lost his match, because now he feels dead in the water to me.
Mm.
And then after the match, they did like the long celebration with Cody and MJF where, you know, you're kind of waiting for MJF to turn on him. But I think that was the one good thing they did here where you're going to wait a while for that turn. Like, it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to make you wait until, like, November on TV, probably. And I think it'll mean a lot more by then when they do it. So, mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, then we had the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers, the AAA World Tag Team Title ladder match.
This match,
I have to say this, first of all. The theme song saying Superkick Fiesta instead of Superkick Party, that was very funny in, like, a very subtle way.
Mm.
And you know, if it was WWE, the announcer would have screamed, like, Superkick Fiesta! Yeah. Ha ha ha! And they would have made it, like, a big...
mentioned it 50 times, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
50 times. Done the big fake laugh and everything, and it would have been very unfunny. And they also had, like, I guess, like, pesos instead of dollars or something.
Oh, okay.
Which was actually kind of cute, too. The match itself...
Let me say something.
Sure.
This match reminded me when... an author, or maybe a better thing would be a movie director, gets so famous and so popular that no one is there to tell him, buddy, take a step back, like, take it easy, like, and he just goes way too far, like, I'm trying to think of an example, like, and makes a giant movie that's, like, 5 hours long when there's shit you could cut out. But he's like, so, like, no, everything, because this match, there was too much in one match. Like, when that part happened where they took off Pentagon's mask, I was like, okay, that's a great finish. He takes off his mask, he falls, and then they went on for like 10 more minutes or some shit. And I'm like,
there was at one point they did that, what's it called thing, like that insane fucking Canadian destroyer off the ladder through the table, which was one of the craziest spots I've ever seen, and they just kept going for like 15 minutes after that.
And one Buck fell
through. No, before that, they both did those two splashes on the floor.
And apparently each one didn't give a shit about his partner. They're like, you're gonna kill my brother?
Great!
Yeah. Okay, good, I'm gonna kill yours. Cool! Let's go!
That was really stupid.
And the announcers are screaming, that's their brothers! And I'm like, yeah, so I guess... They don't give a fuck? Like, why are you screaming that? Because they're seeing their brother's about to die, and they're just like, oh, well, you should have done better. Anyway.
And the crowd went nuts for that spot.
I thought it was stupid.
After that, the crowd was dead. Like, the crowd was dead for a little while, and it's like, well, you went too far. You did what you guys do in every single Young Bucks match like this. You just keep going and going and going, and you lose the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how people even, like, rate these, you know, like, separately. Like, how do you... How do you come up with, like, the definitive Young Bucks ladder match? They're all the same fucking thing. Yeah,
that spot where he fell in between the ladder, where Phoenix knocked... Yeah, it was right after the mask spot, and he fell, like, on the edge of it. He fell off the
ladder, and, like, it didn't... And, like, looked like the bump looked horrific. Like,
scared the fuck out of me. He broke his neck or something. And I better see people on Twitter saying, I can't rate this match. It's too dangerous. I refuse to.
No, they all gave it 5 stars. Okay. A bunch of people gave it 5 stars.
So it's okay for that, but...
Flag, yeah. No, it's okay.
He may never fuck...
It's okay to risk your life if you're what? That's what it comes down to. Don't be Japanese and do it, but if you're white, it's fine.
You could be paralyzed from, like, the waist down doing that shit. Like,
I know. And they took a fucking power driver on the ladder right after.
I know. That's fucking destroying your back, buddy.
I mean, I don't give a fuck. People, whatever people want to do.
For someone who has a big experience with back pain, like, don't do that to
yourself.
People
want to do, I don't give a fuck either way, but I'm consistent. These people who go nuts on Naito and Ibushi and don't care about this are very inconsistent.
Yep.
But yes, this gets my standard smile and move on my life Young Bucks rating.
It could have gone longer. They actually surprised me because I thought this match would go like 45 minutes. I think it went like 25.
Yeah.
They did hold back a little, but they had another match to get to. So.
And then LAX ran out and attacked.
After the match, so we had a winner. But although it was dumb that LAX laid out both teams, and I like turned away for a second, I turned around, LAX had left, and Pentagon and Phoenix were celebrating again. And I'm like, oh, they got better.
Okay. That was a little weird, I know.
They were acting like they weren't hurt at all. And I was like, okay, well, if I was LAX, I'd be pissed off. But also, one thing, why should we care as AEW fans about the AAA tag titles?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
and
always my question.
Why would LAX, is this going to stay? Are the AAA tag titles going to stay here? Because they laid out and attacked initially the AAA tag team champions, LAX.
I don't think they're going to.
Then why did they attack the AAA?
I don't know. Just to show they're here.
Okay. Sure.
Also, their name, I think, on how the Barique was, they said, or something.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so they also announced around here the next pay per view is going to be called Full Gear. It's on November 9th, and it's going to be in Baltimore. So, first of all, the same place Ring of Honor is having Final Battle, and the same place that Ring of Honor is in the same place as Ring of Honor's HQ.
Well, if AEW can get more than 12 people, then I'll draw ROH.
And it's the same day as New Japan Showdown in San Jose, which is interesting.
Which one is Dave going to go to?
But yeah, so I guess they couldn't get an MSG. Because that was the big rumor.
Or maybe they're waiting. I don't know.
I don't know, because apparently WWE's trying to keep them out, is the word. So maybe they couldn't get in yet.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Why did you make that sound?
Because I have a big, 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 big question about what you just said.
Yeah. That's what I heard. It's a rumor.
Why would MSG listen to the people that can't even sell out their building?
That's the rumor. That
why would they say, yes, sir, Vince. How many people you draw? Like 200. Okay. What would they do? They'd probably sell you out in 10 seconds. Oh, I don't want them. Yeah, I know. You might make money. I don't want fucking money. That makes no sense to me.
Supposedly, if WWE doesn't do better and he's Raw and SmackDown, maybe they can get in then.
They fucking better.
Because right now, Raw is not even sold out yet.
And everyone thought for sure that would happen.
SmackDown's like half
sold. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Why the fuck would they listen to him?
I have no idea.
He can't even fill up their building.
I don't know. What do you want me to tell
you? And MSG shouldn't be...
That's what Meltzer said, okay? And I heard that from someone else, too.
That would be so goddamn fucking stupid.
The reason why is because everyone's trying to block them.
Why do they give a fuck... Then tell him to go away.
I don't know. So the main event, Chris Jericho and Hangman Page to become the first ever AEW World Champion. This was a lot better than I was expecting.
This was pretty
especially after the last two Jericho matches, which I didn't care for at all, the Omega and Okada matches.
The show just... I don't know if this was the right main event for a show that's like 5 hours long, though.
Yeah. I mean, the show is too long. These pay-per-views are too long. They have that WWE problem.
No, you don't have to be like WWE.
You have an hour pre-show and then a four-hour main show. It's just 5 hours is too long. The only people that can pull off these 5 to 7 hour shows is DDT.
I think
New Japan kind of can, too. Yeah, moved away from it now. But yeah, the crowd, I don't think the match was ever bad.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, I was into it, but the crowd was totally out of gas. They did pick up towards the end, though, so that's good.
And the issue with me watching the match is because I'm so conditioned to WWE, I kept waiting for bullshit. I kept waiting for something like someone to run in,
your brain is broken. My
someone
brain
dressed up as one of them to distract them, or music to play, or your Brock Lesnar to come out.
Your
or
brain is broken. My brain is not broken because
the
I
ref
haven't watched
to fall down or ref bump or some bullshit.
Do you know what you could do?
But
you could stop watching it.
I know. I was too conditioned waiting for some crap, so I better not get too invested. Something's going to happen. But no. Jericho beat one.
So,
although it was weird, the story of the match was mostly the face kicking the ass of the heel.
I thought
Jericho was bleeding.
By the end, that was fine because the heel was going to win. At least it looked like
At least the heel won, but that's just still strange.
There was a really cool spot.
It was different, and that's not always bad, though.
There was a cool spot where Jericho countered the shooting star to the floor that Paige always does with the double knees, which that was they had a really tight timing window to pull that off, and they pulled it off pretty much perfectly. So that was good. Jericho, I thought, looked in better shape, too. JR pointed this out early on. It was one of his better calls, because I agree with him. Like, he didn't look all pudgy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he laid off the vodka for the past months, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, there was another really cool counter spot where, like, Paige went to do the buckshot lariat, and Jericho turned it into a codebreaker. And then towards the end, you know, Paige hit the rite of passage and, you know, went for the two count, or went for the pin, only got a two count. So, and then after that, Jericho did finally hit the Judas effect, which the crowd popped really loud.
So he got it over.
Yes.
Some people he got that move over. He got the move over. Popped.
The crowd went nuts for the Judas effect.
Yeah, and so, he won with his move.
I mean, look, this AEW crowd, it's a hardcore crowd. I guess you only need to show it to them once to get it over. Like, they had no idea what the fuck was going on when he hit it against Omega.
Yeah.
But they went crazy when he hit it here. So, hopefully, if all the crowds are going to react like this, then the Judas effect looks cool. So,
yeah.
I mean, when they do it like that, it looked really kind of stupid. And it shows the value of a crowd reaction, because it looks stupid when he hit it on Omega. When it's like, kind of stumbled over and hit him with it, and the crowd didn't react at all when it was the pin. Here, he, like, I think he did get better, like a better little, like, explosive jump into it, you know? So I think it looked better to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, also the crowd went crazy. So that always helps.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and he got the pin. So, like we mentioned, Jericho was busted open. You know, that was...
They didn't stop the match to patch him up, though.
That was, like, a callback, I guess, to Fight for the Fallen. Because Paige... Remember Paige?
Oh, yeah, they did. So and the announcers mentioned that.
So Paige got revenge for that, which was cool. But, you know, I think it was the right decision between the two of them, for sure. Because Jericho, like, Paige did not feel hot entering this match at all. And he probably looks, if anything, this match will probably help him. So
yeah, I would agree.
I went 4 stars flat on it. I thought it was really good. Jericho's best match since the Naito match at Wrestle Kingdom. But, yeah, I thought this was a very good way to cap the show. Overall, I would put this right around Double or Nothing. It was not a bad show by any means. It didn't have, like... I like Dustin Cody better than anything on this show.
Yeah, that one match was better. But overall, as a show, I thought this was better.
This was probably better than Double or Nothing overall, yeah. I mean, it was close, but I think this was probably better. Definitely way better than the other two shows, because I didn't like Fighter Fest or Fight for the Fallen.
I think I liked...
You liked Fighter Fest.
Fighter Fest. Fight for the Fallen, I just felt like...
That show sucked.
Show was bad. If you made it shorter, it would have been fine, but for a show that was what it was, it shouldn't have been so long.
Yeah, that show was bad.
And that seemed to be the consensus. Like, some of those matches went on... Well, you know, Heyman Page might have been a little more over if he had just won that match in, like, 5 minutes instead of taking, like...
Yeah.
20 well, minutes
think,
to fight.
I think this will help him. I think losing, even though he got his ass kicked here.
Guys can sometimes get more over by losing. Yeah. So that.
Did they put any? You're looking through these New Japan.
No, they are not up yet.
Okay. So I guess we'll wrap it up here then.
Yeah. The only last thing we were going to talk about was I was hoping maybe New Japan would be up by now, but the matches aren't up yet. So
what's coming up for AEW is
the
October
show.
2nd, their first weekly TV
against NXT.
Nyla Rose versus. Riho,
mm-hmm.
for the first women's champion, and we'll see how that goes. Quinlan, why don't you plug your Twitter?
Oh, what is it again?
@I'm_not_Quinlan.
Thank you.
Okay. Folks, you can follow us on Twitter. It's @WrestleOmakase. Wrestling would not fit. And we will be back next week. I don't know what we're doing next week or who's going to be on yet.
You could. We still got a couple weeks for whatever the next thing is. Clash of the...
I'm
titles
good.
Or whatever.
You know, I haven't had. You know,
Class
I haven't talked.
Champions.
You know, I haven't talked about WWE on the show since WrestleMania, and I feel
you didn't even review SummerSlam.
I feel fucking liberated.
You'll have to
I'm
do
not,
Survivor
never
Series.
Going back into, I haven't really watched it. I haven't talked about it. It's been so great.
Why don't you do the premiere of NXT when Enzo and Cass return?
I'm good. Next week we'll probably talk DET and Tokyo Joshi because they both have a show. I think Tokyo Joshi is going on right now, and DET is also going on tomorrow. The Osaka Octopus.
Well. I'll probably be back on the show after our... Maybe after the New Japan shows we go to.
Yeah,
if we can find time. I don't know. But, okay.
All right, folks. Like I said, follow us on Twitter. Give us positive iTunes reviews to make up for the last time Quinlan was on. And we will see you next time. Thank you, as always, for listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.